the heck was that?
I'm moving my computer. Okay. Hold on. Just chill out. You need to take a breath.
Calm down. Hello and welcome to CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Arifon Elijah. I'm here with Leander Caney.
Hey, Arifon.
Hey, Buster Hine. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Happy new iPad Eve.
Yeah.
We're recording this, and I just got a notification today that my iPad, my new iPad, was sitting in a warehouse somewhere, and it's going to be overnighted to me. I should have it by tomorrow. Did you guys get any notifications?
No, I didn't get anything.
Really?
I didn't.
Nuh-uh.
You must have got the one that it shipped, right, from China.
Actually, I didn't get that one. Mine
looks
just
like somebody's
said it
not
was
getting
in California.
His iPad tomorrow.
Yeah, dude.
Last time I checked, it was like sitting in Oakland or something.
That's where mine was, too. That was a little different because I think when I ordered my iPad 2, I got an email that said it was going to be sent to me from China, right? And then I got to follow it all the way across the water. This time, it just said it was in California, and that's where they're shipping it from.
Mine's in Ontario, California, which I don't even know where that is, but...
Oh, yeah, yours is probably in the same
place. It's been sitting there for like a week or something.
Yeah, mine is too. So,
And I got the smart cover.
Oh, you did?
The new one? Yeah.
Oh, right. But it's exactly the same as the other smart cover, right?
This is the Retina smart cover.
Yeah. High def.
Oh, right.
It's 1 million more.
It costs twice the price.
Yeah, more leather grain.
It's got a lot more density.
Exactly. Yeah. It still cost me $80, which I think is like...
That is so expensive.
What you got?
Say again?
You got the fake leather one? Is that what you did?
I did, yeah. I got the leather. Because we had a visitor, and he had a leather one, and it was all beat up, and it looked really sophisticated.
Wow. That's expensive, though. I talked a little bit about the iPad case I got. I got it on Amazon. It was $25, and it's all leather, really nice leather, too. I hope it will work on my new iPad, too, because I was reading some of the specs, and the new iPad is supposed to be...
It's supposed
to be fatter, yeah. So I'm kind of hoping that it's going to work. But I've been reading that the smart covers, the old smart covers, work on the new iPad. So is there a reason you bought a new one, Leander?
Just because the old one is all skanky and nasty. So
yeah, skanky is a perfect word. Every time I see one of those things that's more than 6 months old, it looks just like it's been put through the washer and dryer.
Yeah. This is like a ridiculous, impulse purchase. And then of course I worried that ordering the cover, like as soon as I put the order in, I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? Because it said, some of these items might be delayed, altogether my time. I'm like, oh no, it's not going to show up because it's going to delay it. But it actually showed up several days ago, and I got an email saying, I missed it initially. I missed the UPS guy.
Yeah.
And so I got an email saying, we tried to deliver your Apple product, and if you don't, if you're not there for the next delivery, it's going to go back to China. And I was like, oh my God, you're not
Oh, dude, when you said that, I was really excited because I was like, no way. You're going to be one of those lucky guys who gets one early, gets your iPad early. But that was definitely not the case. Well, hey, I definitely want to talk some more about the iPad because it's coming out tomorrow. So the reviews are out. People are talking about it now. But in the pre-show discussion, Buster, you and I were talking about a game that you kind of clued me in on. And at first I thought it was ridiculous. And then I actually realized that I played it and it's super popular. What is it called again?
The game's called Draw Something.
Okay, and this is, it came out like what, like 6 months ago or 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, it came out 5 weeks ago. Let's see, they already got 20 million downloads within 5 weeks.
That is insane.
Yeah, they're making six figures a day was a report that came out yesterday. So, I mean, it's huge. My girlfriend heard about it well before I ever did. And she hates that technology.
And now tell me the premise of the game. I think I kind of understand a little bit. It's kind of like it's Pictionary, but it has a twist to it, right?
Yeah, the game is, well, it's exactly like Pictionary. You have like three different words that you can draw. You draw it, the person guesses it, and then it's their turn to draw something. You guess their words, and you just try and build streaks and stuff. It's a really simple game. You play with like Facebook friends and stuff like that. I'm pretty dominant on it, so
I'm going to download it and show you how a real man plays Pictionary. But so basically, what you do is you just draw a picture, right, and then you kind of submit it to your friend, and then they can visit the picture when they're ready, right, and try to guess what it is.
Yeah, they basically see you drawing it out and they try and guess what it is.
So it's almost like a little animated drawing that gets sent to them.
Yeah, yeah. They see the entire like drawing process. So if you want to draw something, maybe an obscenity first and then erase it and then draw the real thing, you can totally do that and they see everything.
Right. So like you could draw like the top of a sentence and then when the full sentence gets revealed, it says, "Suck it, Trebek."
Yeah, exactly.
I like this app already. Well, hey, that sounds really cool. What's it called one more time, Buster?
Draw Something.
Draw Something. And they have a free version and a paid version, right?
Yeah, they have a free version and a paid version.
And the free version is the same. It's just ad-supported?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So if you guys are interested, definitely check that out because that is an immensely popular game. And when I was playing it, I was like, dude, this is a great idea. It's one of those things that is just fun to play with your friends. And if you're not a big Words with Friends fan, I'm not because I don't like words. I like to draw. then I would check it out.
Well, you know, what's puzzling to me is, I mean, it's based on Pictionary and then you have Words with Friends, which is based on Scrabble. Yeah. So I'm just confused. Why haven't the gaming companies that are doing board games, they haven't created apps that are as popular as their board game counterpart? That's what, I don't know, is a little bit... interesting to me.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. If anything, they stifle it, right? Because they try to sue these companies when they do these things if their stuff is too similar. I just think that game companies are, they sit on these cash cows, right? It's like they're already making a ton of money with Scrabble. They're already making a ton of money with Pictionary. It's like, why do they need to change anything?
Exactly. It's like any other industry that's been disrupted by digital. I mean, they're sitting on a business that's already making money. Why do they want to? You know, they see these things as a threat, and the last thing they want to do is put themselves out of business. You know, so
totally
they're like, sitting around watching other people do it.
Like if they were smart, don't I think they'd be like, "Hey, this is a great idea. We should buy your company, and we'll turn this into like an official Scrabble product or an official Pictionary product, right?"
Exactly. I mean, they can't buy Draw Something now because the company that makes it, OMG Pop, is making so much money. They're just going to be like, "No way." But it's like, why wouldn't you embrace the digital and do something like that? Buy an app development company and have them create great games for you as well so that you can have a future instead of dying in a couple of years. I don't get it personally.
Yeah, totally. And just protecting everything that you can or doing everything you can to protect your profits that you're making now. That's like the strategy that like a lot of companies use. But anyway, we digress. Let's talk a little bit about the new iPad. So the curtain has been lifted. The media is allowed to start talking about the iPad now. I saw Uncle Walt did his review, Walt Mossberg from the Wall Street Journal. And so far, I've been getting the impression that everyone really likes it, but not really a whole lot is different between the iPad 2 and the new iPad. Would you guys concur with that assessment?
Yeah, that seemed to be the general consensus was, it's new, it's updated, but nothing crazy.
Leander, what do you think?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. But, it's kind of odd, why people expect Apple to do any different, to come out with some kind of, totally amazingly new features every single time. You know, if you look at the history of the iPod over 10 years, it was slow and steady improvement until, you end up with in this case, I think was almost actually the perfect tablet. No one can beat this. It's absolutely amazing, especially for the price and its functionality. This is like this is the iPad that's going to cross over way over into the mainstream. They're going to sell so many of these things, it's going to be crazy.
That was pretty much exactly what Walt Mossberg was saying. He was like, Apple was already ahead, with your iPad 2, which everyone loved. I'm paraphrasing, he didn't say this verbatim, but basically what he was saying is no one's going to be able to compete with this thing. Especially with that new Retina display screen. I mean, even though it is just one feature, from everything that I've been reading, even people who have things to say about the iPad that isn't positive, no one has said a single negative thing about the Retina display. I think it's going to be, truly amazing.
Has anyone said anything negative about the iPad?
I wouldn't say anyone said anything negative, it's going to suck, but... Some of the disappointments I've heard voiced, and this is actually something I'm a little disappointed in, is that the word on the street is that it's going to be a faster iPad, which is really not true. It's not really going to be faster. They're putting in a faster processor, the A5X, but the faster processor is just there to handle all the Retina display graphics it has to drive, right? Like, it doesn't make your iPad faster.
But so what? It wasn't slow anyway, was it?
Yeah. No, it wasn't slow. It wasn't slow, and that's why I think it's a minor disappointment for me, because, you know, the iPad 2 is great, and I'm not disappointed with it in any way, but I guess for me, I'm like, well, I'm buying a new piece of hardware. How often do you buy a new piece of computing anything and have it not be faster, but the same speed, you know? Well, so in that regard, I'm like, oh man, I'm a little bit bummed. What?
Well,
Buster?
Anytime the like computers are updated, they're updated and they perform faster, but also the tasks that they have to perform require more processing. So it's not like the actual times that we have saved throughout the years has, you know, it's grown shorter. It hasn't actually decreased by that much. It's just we're able to do more things on them, just like with the new iPad. You now have Retina graphics, whereas if you put that on the iPad 2, it would have taken longer to do those apps and things like that. So it actually pretty much stays the same throughout most of computing.
Yeah, that's a good point. So once we get these things in, we'll be able to tell, you know.
Plus, I would have thought, you know, if you've been using a Mac for years, you would have got used to the fact that Apple puts sucky old CPUs in its machines, you know, forever, right? I mean, the MacBook and the iMac have always sort of been like a generation behind the cutting edge, you know, whatever Intel had.
Yeah, that's why I always tell people, I'm like, if you're going to buy a Mac, you should wait till it's refreshed. Because oftentimes I find that they, unless it's a lower level product, like they will put the most cutting edge technology into any computer that they make. But dude, once they are selling that thing for a year or two, it's like then it really starts to get long on the tooth, right? And they're putting technology in that maybe
they're always about 6 months behind with the chips, with the CPUs. I think that's been true, you know, since they switched to Intel, and it was definitely true before with you know, with but the PowerPC chips, except like in some, you know, the Mac Pros, like the high-end stuff, I think, you know, occasionally they had the latest and greatest chip, but very rarely. I mean, they're always about 6 months behind.
Yeah, the Mac Pros is actually a good point because, my gosh, I think it's been, what, 2 years since they've updated that thing? They made faster chips available within the last 12 months. I could be wrong about that, but that hasn't been updated forever. You kind of get the impression that Apple's kind of like they're on the fence, and we've heard rumors about this, that they're going to just kill off the Mac Pro entirely. Do you guys think that is a possibility?
Yeah, it is a possibility.
Landry, what do you think?
Yeah, but I think it's going to do they're doing the iPod Classic with it, you know, which is they're continuing to sell it, but they're not putting any resources into updating it.
Yeah, but I wonder why you would buy. I mean, why would anyone buy a computer that has a year and a half old technology, and it's freaking expensive?
You can put 32 gigabytes of RAM in it and 8 hard drives, and it's a video, you know, editing workhorse.
Yeah, it's not like that's meant for the consumers or anything like that. I did read that I think Intel came out with a new Xeon processor that people think Apple will use to update the Pro line soon.
I hope they keep it, because they killed off like the actual Xserve servers, right? And whether or not that made sense, I don't know. But I do think they need to have a professional product. But the whole thing with Final Cut Pro X, you know, becoming this really kind of consumer-grade product as opposed to this professional-level product that it was, kind of has me raising an eyebrow. And I'm like, well, maybe they would kill off the Mac Pro. I mean, Apple's certainly not opposed to killing off products that are popular if they're niche products, right?
Yeah, definitely. And most of their customer base is just regular consumers, not professionals. So, I mean, you're definitely going to tailor yourself. When you're making all of your money off of consumers, then you're definitely going to put more energy and more money into that market than the professional market that you're not making as much money off of anymore.
Yeah, that's a good point. Boy, you know, I was reading also in regards to the iPad. Have you guys noticed that they're already 2 to 3 weeks behind in shipping them?
Yeah.
And this happened with the iPad 2, and I didn't expect it to happen with the iPad 3, but some analysts are expecting that Apple's projected to sell 66 million iPads in 2012.
That's it?
That's it.
Well, I think they sold, what, like 60 million last year or 40 million, something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. I think they were selling, I think one of their best quarters, they sold like 15 million iPads. I could be wrong. I really am not sure how many they sold in 2011, but 66 million iPads is insane. I mean, the fact that we're already at 2 to 3 weeks, you know, just to get one of these, it's already become like an immensely popular product for Apple.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And shot their stock price up. Less than a month ago, their stock price was flirting with $500. And as of today, actually, as of today, it's about $585, but it hit $600 and then it dropped.
Right.
$600 a share. It was just at $500.
It's going to $700, baby, and higher.
Oh, man. I gotta rebuy that stock.
I know, yeah. Well, maybe you can sell your iPad and you could probably get half a stock.
Yeah. If I sell my car and my computer, I can buy 3 shares.
But you'll double your money, you know.
Let that baby ride. Take it up to 1,000. That's going to be great. Well, hey, one more thing about the iPad. So with all this new technology, with the Retina display, with the LTE things that they're putting in it for the faster mobile data speeds, a lot of people were expecting it to get, you know, worse battery life, especially with the LTE, because that thing drains power. But the iPad gets about the same battery life as the iPad 2. That's been pretty much everyone's experience with it, as far as I've read. And people were kind of speculating how Apple was able to pull this off, because, you know, they knew that the new iPad needed more power. So people were thinking that maybe they had developed some secret battery technology. Well, iFixit did a teardown today and didn't really see a ton of exciting stuff in the new iPad personally. But one of the things I did notice is that Apple has totally redesigned the internals of the iPad. So they're able to pack way more battery into it, which is one of the reasons why it's heavier and it's thicker. So you get a longer battery life. But do you guys, Leander, how long does it take you to charge your iPad 2?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. You know, I've got actually good charging habits, you know, so I sit in a dock when I'm not using it. So
that's
I've
good
never
charging
actually...
habits?
Isn't it?
I think that's terrible charging habits.
Why is that bad?
Because you're supposed to let the battery drain all the way down before you charge it. I mean, that's kind of an old school methodology, right?
First time.
What's that?
Isn't that just like for the first time you use it, you're supposed to let the battery drain all the way down?
Well, I don't know. With the lithium polymer batteries that Apple uses, I think the first time you might need to do that. But I know it's good for the battery every once in a while just to do that.
Exactly.
Because it works in cycles, right? And it only has a certain amount of charging cycles on it before its life starts to degrade.
Right, yeah. So you let it drain every now and again, but you don't let it drain and then recharge, drain, recharge. That's actually probably the quickest way to kill your battery.
Yeah. No. What? Yeah. Really? That's what I do.
Uh-oh. Don't buy
my iPad only lasts 35 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys don't have to leave your iPad plugged in at all times?
No.
Nope. Oh, I was wondering what was going on. Well, where I was going with this is I'm one of those anal fools who lets it go all the way down. I mean, like, I will take it down to like 6% before I charge it. And charging the iPad 2 takes at least 3 or 4 hours. It takes forever to charge this damn thing. And now with the new iPad, this battery is thicker. I'm wondering how long it's going to take to charge this thing all the way. Let's my gosh. How long could it be? You know, it's like if it's a lot bigger, 6 hours?
Plug it in at night and stop crying.
I read it. Dude, I read it at night. And then I charge it during the day when I'm not using it.
Yeah, plug it into your dryer outlet. Get 240 volts in there.
Yeah.
The thing looks like a Prius anyway, doesn't it? Look at it.
Yeah. You know what's funny is when I took my iPad to Europe, they all have 240 volt outlets out there. And actually, it did. It cut the charging time down significantly, probably by half, right? But I don't think it was quite half. But my iPad in an hour and a half, 2 hours, I felt like was always fully charged and ready to go.
Well, then, you know, we should go into business. Let's get a new, you know, 240 volt charging dock.
Oh, yeah.
Something with some huge fat transformer in it, some big capacitors. You know, things like totally dangerous.
It's like kill cattle. Those stations that like recharge your phone super fast. We could totally do that.
That would be awesome. I would love to have one of those. I mean, because honestly, if it's going to take more than 2 or 3 hours to charge an iPad, that's way too long.
Yeah, it's ugly. What I was amazed about though in these teardown pictures was look how small the the logic board is. I mean, you know, with all the chips, it's like a thin strip. It's a fraction of what is it, like an eighth or something, maybe. And a tenth of the internals is just that is you know, most of it's battery and screen, and then this tiny strip of chips.
You know, whenever I see these kind of teardowns, and you see this little micro board in there and a battery, you're like, I'm paying $600 for this thing. Like, look how tiny it is. It's just a freaking board soldered to a screen with a piece of aluminum on it. And I'm like. I know Apple's probably paying, $200 for this thing. I'm like, why am I paying so much for this thing? There's nothing to it.
You're looking at the wrong scale, though. You got to get your microscope out, because then you see the real, the real scale of the thing. It's so minute now. I mean, how many different circuits are on those chips? It's astonishing.
I have no idea. I'm fairly certain I could build one if I wanted to. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm going to call it the E-pad. Actually, I bet you that's probably already trademarked. I'm gonna have to figure out another name.
Have you seen that episode of The Office where they have the triangle pad and everything? I think that was like on a recent episode where they're selling it.
You can tell me about it, Buster.
What? At length.
Please tell me at length about it. No, I'm serious. Tell me about it. What was it? What did it do?
It's a triangle. It's like Dwight Schrute decided he was going to create a competitor to the iPad, so he made a triangle iPad. And I don't know all of the features because I don't really watch The Office anymore. But
well, if you're an Office fan, you know that's funny just because that's something that Dwight Schrute would do.
Yeah.
But hey, sorry, what were you going to say, Buster?
Just that it looks ridiculous.
That's really funny. Thank you for sharing that with us. I want to move on from iPads, and I want to talk a little bit about the future of the MacBook Pro. I have a MacBook Pro. Leander, you've gone to the dark side, right? You're using a MacBook Air.
Yeah. And I had a MacBook Air for a couple of years, but now my wife uses my old MacBook Pro, which I was totally in love with. You can look it up online. I did a review about how much in love I was with that machine. And
that's funny. I thought you were going to say something totally different. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, look it up online. There's a video of me. I was like, okay. And Buster, what are you using? Are you using a MacBook Pro?
No, I'm using an 11-inch MacBook Air.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, the rumor is, and we just did a post about this, is that the MacBook Pro, the 15-inch model, is going to be killed for a MacBook Air. And I think this is really interesting. I use a 15-inch MacBook Pro, but of course I use it because it has much more processing power than a MacBook Air. I would love to have a MacBook Air. I have no desire to carry around a 6-pound computer. I just like it because, it does what I need it to do, and plus you get a hard drive with the extra storage space. But, the MacBook Airs are doing so well. I mean, couldn't Apple just release a model that has faster processing power, worse battery life, but a better graphics chip? And, it's going to have an SSD, which means it's going to not going to have as much storage space, and just replace the 15-inch MacBook Pro altogether?
Yeah, definitely.
Think? Leander?
Well, that's what they're going to do. I mean, I don't think they're going to – I think the Pro's dead. I think I don't see them continuing to run it anymore. You know, one of the big reasons everyone says the DVD player, right? And I guess there's a lot of people think they need to have an optical drive. But, the world has totally moved on from that. And I think the big difference is that, people say movies and they can't play their Netflix DVDs anymore. But I think for Apple or for computer companies, one of the big reasons they supported DVD was because it was also the delivery format for software.
Right.
That's how you got all the big applications on DVD. You had to have a DVD player to install software.
Right.
And I think obviously that's changed with the Mac App Store.
Right.
Even the OS updates are coming now over the air, or they're coming on a little USB stick. So the DVD, I don't think is, you don't need it for games, you don't need it for software, you don't need it for movies. It's a dead, it's a dead format. It's just a legacy piece of technology, and it just depends on how long Apple will support it. And yeah, I don't know. I think the writing's on the wall. I mean, I would much rather buy, and I think a lot of customers would rather buy, a 15-inch MacBook Air than a MacBook Pro.
Me too. And your point about the DVD player, I'm shocked Apple's still selling computers with DVD players. I really am. I never use my DVD player, and every time I hear someone make that argument, I'm like, you're carrying around this freaking half-pound DVD player in your computer that you never use. You just want it just in case. It's like, buy an external DVD player if you're that worried about it, because I never use mine. I would much rather they take it out and even replace it with nothing just so my computer is lighter, or replace it with battery, or replace it with another hard drive, or give me the option to have an SSD and a hard drive, you know, so I get the fast performance, but I also have the storage if I need it to. So I hope they kiss these things goodbye. I mean, I don't see any reason why computers need to have DVD players, period, anymore. I mean, no one uses them, especially in like you said, Leander, with the Mac App Store, and everyone's, you know, downloading their stuff from the web. You can even get your OS from the web now. It's like, there just doesn't really seem to be any reason to have a DVD player. I would love to see a 15-inch MacBook Pro, or I should say MacBook Air model. But my main thing is, and I think this is going to be a major sticking point with a lot of people, is it needs to have a good amount of storage, right? Because there's a lot of us who, you know, carry around media with us. And if you have a MacBook Pro, you need the processing power. But that means you're also processing something, right? It's either going to be video or photos or whatever. And then it needs to have a much more powerful graphics processor in it, because I mean, the MacBook Air is sufficient unless you're doing things with Lightroom a lot, like I am, or editing podcasts, like I am. It needs to have some serious, more horsepower, and then I'd be up for it. But let me ask you guys this: I mean, if they get rid of the 15-inch MacBook Pro, replace it with the MacBook Air, are we still going to see a 17-inch MacBook Pro? Is that going to stick around as the sole MacBook Pro that you can buy, Leander, or Buster? Actually, what do you think?
Yeah, I was actually going to say that. I could see them definitely just making a 15-inch MacBook Air and maybe carrying a 17-inch MacBook Pro for...
Me too. I was going to say that too, but I was going to say it before you, Buster.
Yeah,
well, I was thinking it before either of you dudes ever thought about it.
I think Buster's right. That totally makes sense. I can see them keeping around a big, you know, fat truck of a machine and getting rid of the... And taking the 15-inch to... you know, to the airline.
Whose phone was that?
That was mine. Sorry, I tried to get away from it, but it's
it sounds like an office phone from like the 1980s.
that's Leander's life. He's
still... Listen, I think it's the iPad. I think it's the AT&T guy.
No,
hang on a second. Let me see. Hello. Oh, they took off.
No, there's no way they would have delivered your iPad today.
I mean, some dude in Germany last year got his early, didn't he? Why wouldn't it happen to me?
Because you're in the U.S., where rules are followed.
Right. I don't even see UPS down there. Huh, that's weird. I wonder what it was.
I don't know. Probably must have been crappy.
Prostitute ordered.
The inflatable prostitute. Hey, look, one of the stories that I posted about this week, which I think was probably the best story posted to the internet, period, was about this Steve Jobs-inspired iCEO doll. It's kind of like the what was that? It was like an action figure that was posted or that was created, 6 months ago? It was actually maybe longer than that. It was right before Steve Jobs passed away. This company created this like realistic action figure, and I think they were even calling it like the Steve Jobs like doll or something. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah.
There's been a couple of them.
Yeah, there have been. Well, full disclosure, the company that makes this doll is called Throwboy, and I'm actually friends with the owner, but in no way do I profit from its sale or anything like that. I just thought it was really interesting, and I've gotten to hold the doll, and this thing is really awesome. Like, it's super detailed, and I'm kind of wondering if they're going to have a problem selling these things with, you know, with Apple and Steve Jobs' family, you know, like the way they were with that action figure. If they're going to have a problem with anyone selling anything that resembles Steve Jobs at all. I mean, they don't use Steve Jobs in the name of the product or on the product page. They call it the iCEO, but it's obviously inspired by Steve Jobs. It obviously looks like him. Do you guys think that Apple's going to, you know, have a problem with these kinds of products? Buster?
Will they have a problem? Will Apple not like it? Is that what you mean?
Well, no. I mean, do you think they're going to try? I should be more specific. I mean, are they not going to like it? Yeah, probably. But are they going to sue? You know, like, do you think they're going to go after companies that create products like this?
Well, I think if your friend's calling it the iCEO doll instead of the Steve Jobs doll, then he's probably safe. But I'm not an intellectual property lawyer.
Well, yeah, but you are a very intellectual person.
I just looked it up on, thank God for Wikipedia, Celebrity Rights Act, right? In California, right. 70 years after celebrity's death, the estate can hold the rights to his or her likeness and image, as well as, you know, any copyrights they hold. So, and this goes way back to, like, Bela Lugosi.
Yes, but this actually, is just one state. I mean, I've done some research about this too, and not at all related to even to this topic. But one of the reasons that action figure, that Steve Jobs action figure, was able to exist is because in a lot of states, once a person dies, the rights to use their image becomes public domain. Anyone can use it, and that's the way it is. And actually, a majority of states, Washington State where I live, is actually not like that. The family, I think, retains the rights. So it's kind of like this mixed bag. It's like in some states, you know, like you can use the rights to a dead person, regardless of if they're a celebrity or not, because they're dead, they're gone.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But well, New York it becomes public domain, but in California and other cases.
I wonder how that works. I mean, personally.
Let's discuss this on our legal podcast.
I'm going to create a podcast that's called stevejobsfigurines.com.
Anyway, I think you're completely on crack. Why are you in love with this ridiculous doll?
You don't like it?
Are you a 6-year-old girl?
I have a 6-year-old girl inside me, or at least her tendencies. You know why? I'm just such a fan of Steve Jobs, and I think that this product, unlike some other products that have been released, is more of an inspiration. It's like inspired by, so it's like it's obviously him, but it doesn't just copy him and copy his image and try to sell it to you like that weird action figure that was super duper detailed. And I just you know, I feel like I have an affinity for Steve Jobs, and I would love just to have him sit on my desk and watch me work all day.
And this one's a nice
The doll's got its merits, you know. I mean, it's like a comfy version of Steve Jobs. You can cuddle with it at night. That's not something you could have done.
Yeah, that's why I don't like it. You see, that's why I don't like it, because it's not true to his nature. You know, I'd rather have a really scary one.
his face
around the room. You know, it felt like it was looking at you the whole time.
And they should have had like a his face like snarled, and he's like totally angry, and he's pointing his finger, and it comes with a free employee that he's just totally chewing out for putting a pixel in the wrong place. That's the Steve Jobs doll I want. Well, hey guys, believe it or not, we're out of time. Great conversation today. I'm glad we were able to talk about something else besides the iPad. As excited as I am for it, I'm kind of happy to move on. But of course, by the next show, we'll all have our iPads.
Right. Next show.
So we get a break. We get a short break until we get to talk about iPads even more. So in any case, hey, thanks for listening. This has been the Cult Cast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. If you are interested in hearing from any of us on the internet and our ridiculous rantings, you can find Buster on Twitter at Buster.
BST3R.
I can never remember how you spell that. BST3R. Leander, you are LKANEY, right?
Yep.
Yours is easy to remember. And I'm just at Erfon. That's ERFON. And of course, you can always follow Cultamac. That's just Cult of Mac on Twitter. Thanks for listening, guys. We will catch you next week. All right, let's bring in the British invasion here.
All right.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
You sound great, by the way.
Thank you.
I think out of the three of us, you definitely have the second sexiest voice.
Everybody knows Erfon has the fun-loving voice.
Oh, hey, well, you know, I wasn't gonna say it, but if you agree.